Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, something or somebody like Nehemiah would be so easy to read through it. And because we're women, we don't think twice about protection with a wall or having a sword in one hand and trying to do something else in the other hand. But you, Lord, you have it all in here for us. And we ask that your spirit might just be our teacher, and that you would give each of us something special from your word today, that when we go home on this week, whatever we have to face, that we would remember you're in it and that you answer prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you're kind of a savior. Wow. So help us now to open the word and glean something special out of it, for we ask this in your precious name. Amen. So if you'd like to open up to chapter 4 of Nehemiah, G.K. Chesterton said, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies because they are generally the same people." I thought that was good. True, we're to love everybody, aren't we? This was certainly true in Nehemiah's situation. Sanballat and his associates wanted to keep the Jews weak and dependent, because a strong Jerusalem would throw the balance of power off, and he and his friends, this would influence their wealth, and they just didn't like that idea. So you can just see, it's so much like modern politics, isn't it? When the Jews began to serve the Lord and bring glory to God's name, the enemy became very active. I love it in chapters, and this isn't fair because you haven't gone ahead yet, but chapters 4 through 6 describe all these different tactics that the enemy used to try to stop the work on the walls. As I said with this friend from a couple of weeks ago, that would have been my first plan, would have get the walls up. We need protection. But they didn't start there. They started there with their homes, with paneled walls. I'm kind of glad that that's out of styles these days. Anyway, first they attacked the Jewish people with ridicule. Then they had plots of war. I didn't know how to make that a question in your lesson, but did you notice the Sumerians had an army, and how many Nehemiah was up against, I don't know. So if anybody can come up with an answer for that, I'd love it. But so they had plots of war going on, and they had difficulties in the Jewish ranks, and discouragement, and fear, and selfishness. And then they simply attacked the people and tried to make them fail. And then when that didn't work, they went after Nehemiah, and they tried to make him compromise, and they slandered him, and they threatened him. And you'll see there's going to be a guy of intrigue, not from CSI, but similar to that next week. That didn't work either, but you're going to have to find that out. Nehemiah was steadfast and unmovable. You know, he'd make a great husband, although he'd be maybe too busy on the walls to be a good husband at first. That did go through my mind. But he caused the people to finish the walls in 52 days. I just find that just so miraculous. And that was such a God thing. God had really helped them out. And they were looking to him. Well, you can see in the first few verses, it was ridicule, and Sanballat and his buddies laughed them to scorn and despised them. Maybe with groups of this army from Samaria going from place to place to scare the Jews. I think that would scare you. You know, here you are, a jeweler or some other fine instrument that you're making, and you look behind you and there's all these soldiers, and you think, oh boy. And then they called them feeble, and that simply meant withered. In other words, they were non-productive. But you know, there's where they're so wrong, because the world glories in its wealth and power, but God's people glory in their poverty and their weakness. When we are weak, then we're strong in Christ. That's your choice. And I know I lean heavily on that. Sanballat ridiculed the work. And I was thinking, well, we don't put up stone walls usually. We hire somebody. But if you were making a quilt or something that you just spent hours on, and somebody comes in and laughs at it, or tells you how crooked it is, or can't you do a better job, boy, then you begin to don't think that's a ha-ha thing. In fact, if somebody came in and you had just done this amazing work, and they laugh at you, and I would not take that well. I had a question in your thing, and I says, no, I wouldn't take it well. In the lesson today, the Jews were attempting to build a wall strong enough to protect the city, and they laughed at it because they said, from an army, it will take more than prayer and worship to rebuild the city. And Sanballat was really blaspheming God with that question, because God had promised them that he would help them. And then Sanballat comes along and says, and is laughing at all this. Not good, because it was at the Lord. So Sanballat felt that the Jews didn't know what a difficult job this would have been. And I know when we went to Indonesia, it was we were building walls there for these places for the kids to sleep. It was hard work. But you see, Sanballat thought, they'll quit. They'll just quit. It'll get too hard. But since that didn't happen, so they had to ridicule them. And the materials the Jews were using, Sanballat was also blaspheming God that God would help them, because the material was so bad. It had been burned, too. They were just using the old stuff that was there. It'll never last. I can just see this going on between them all. Ha, those funny Jews, look what they're doing. That whole wall was all black, and they're still trying to use it. But guess what? God's behind them, helping them so they could do it. How did Nehemiah respond to this ridicule? Well, he prayed. Would that be the first thing you would do? I'll bet most of you would go to the phone. Phone or throne, it's your choice. Let me tell you, going to the throne is the best place. You go to the phone, your friend has no idea what to say and may say the wrong thing. So he prayed and asked God to fight the enemy for him. Nehemiah refused to become sidetracked from his plan. And the Lord heard Sanballat, and he also heard Tobiah, and he'd deal with them later. I like that. You have got to answer a prayer immediately. Well, you better wait till it's the right timing. So he would deal with them in his own time. The things people say that hurt you, and I say, oh, I don't have that problem. Well, then go back to Christmas. Or go back to Thanksgiving. Did you have any problems there with the outlaws and the in-laws all getting along? They can say things that can hurt you. But they can't harm you unless you let them into your system. Don't let them into your system. It is like poison. If we spend time pondering the enemy's words, we will give Satan a foothold. And you say, well, how do you know? gets easier after a while to see the enemy behind the scenes going after you. And especially if you have happy kids or you have a good marriage, there's always something that he's going to throw in. But here, he hates the Jews. And you know what? He still hates the Jews today. And I think of it that Jerusalem being, actually Israel being surrounded by Muslims, can you imagine living there? I saw some realtors showing some places where to the Jews, and the mother wanted to know, where is the shelter? And I thought, has anybody here ever had to look for a shelter? And it's true. This is why the Lord tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They need our prayers. There's a big future ahead for them. Not all good. Well, Satan hates the Jews because God has orchestrated them and has a plan. And he'll continue to try to destroy them. But never forget, salvation is of the Jews. The Lord was Jew. And salvation is from him, and he died on the cross for each of us. Well, then Nehemiah started really using his head, and he got the workers together, and they held tools in one hand and weapons in the other. And I think this man is really thinking ahead. The Christian battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy, the Satan, his demonic forces. God has given us all kinds of things to protect us, and you've got to use them. If you are married to a non-Christian, then you've got to think about putting your armor on before you get out of bed. And you find this in Ephesians 6, 10 and following. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, for in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and then it says how to put it on, each piece, and then of course prayer is the whole thing that protects you. Don't forget it. And you can't say, well, that's a joke. We'll find out. Work it out. Work it out in your family if you need be. Ephesians 6, we've taught it before. We've worn it out, I think. The next thing was discouragement. It's a key weapon of Satan's arsenal. They got very discouraged, and the Jewish workers were actually agreeing with the enemy, saying we're feeble. Of course they weren't, but everybody pitched in. The work would get finished, but it almost didn't. He almost got Nehemiah down, but it didn't happen. You'll find that discouragers are often doubting or compromising in their situations. I remember this gal that I knew real well, and she often put doubt on this pastor or this church or this Sunday school. And what was really wrong was all inside. And you can pick that up and you can get discouraged listening. Don't. That especially if they wake you up at night. It's a lack of faith in their own heart. And that's the thing to look to. And then another thing is fear. Nehemiah didn't pay any attention to the complainers, and he got his encouragement from prayer and the promises of God. And Nehemiah was not afraid of the enemy, but when he saw that his people were becoming afraid, he began to act. Fear is very crippling, and the thing is, do not give in to it. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And just stand on that verse. Don't let the enemy come in and give you fear. And how did Nehemiah react to that? Well, he posted guards. He armed entire families. And you can imagine what it was like if you had to guard your family, because you'd do a great job, wouldn't you? So that was a really good idea of Nehemiah's, to get their own people guarding them. He encouraged the people to look to the Lord. Then he stationed a man with a trumpet. And I bet you just kind of read over that and thought, so what? This man was ordered to stay close to Nehemiah, and if they heard the alarm, that they'd be ready to fight, knowing it was God that who would fight with them. He alone could give the victory. Now, what a strategic thing that is, because if you're busy trying to put this stuff together to make this wall, and you hear this alarm, this trumpet, and you would drop your stuff and you would go to where the alarm came from. And he said, I'm involved in a great work. I can't go anyplace. And I like that too. It's not enough to build a wall, but we must also be on guard lest the enemy take it from us. That was his comment. So the encouragement came from their great God, our great God. They weren't working alone. They could actually see one another. That map that was handed out last week, if anybody needs a copy, I still have a few left, but that shows you how big Jerusalem was at the time. And you're all going to say, where's the Eastern Gate? Well, you should be able to figure that out. No. Because I don't know which is east and north and south. But if you can figure out what is east, then you've got it, because that is where the Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate, is. Remember, it wasn't there until, I don't know what year, but remember, they poured 179 feet, something like that, of cement where that gate was. And then they buried all these people because they had heard that Jesus was going to come through that gate, and they wanted him not to come through that gate. So they made it a huge barrier, which is still there today. You can go to Israel and you can see the Eastern Gate and all the graveyard that's on top of all that cement. But you think that's going to stop the Lord? Never. But they were working together and they could see each other. They had a heart to work. It's great. Some of those people weren't bricklayers. Most of those people were doing fine arts and some other things, but they were out there building this wall. But they were to keep an ear for the sound of the trumpet. What an example for us to follow as we wait for the return of the Lord. I thought about that. Keep your one ear out there in case the Lord blows the trumpet. And you need a verse to back that up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Yep. So you got one ear out there, yep, hanging in there? I hope so. So it's a good reminder. So we can just read through this, and we're going to read through it very fast, and miss the New Testament pickups that we really should pick up. It's exciting. Well, then Nehemiah organized two shifts and required the workers from other towns. In other words, if you lived in Jericho and it took you this time to get up to Jerusalem, he wouldn't let you go home at night. He would say, I want you to stay here and keep guard. And so they did, from other towns too. And they stayed in Jerusalem at night and helped guard the city. It's often while we're sleeping at night that the enemy does his most insidious work. You know? I was thinking about that in Matthew, where he talks about the sowers. What happened? Who brought in the tares? And when? The enemy brought the tares in at night and planted them among the wheat. Just, there's always New Testament sidetracks here. Matthew 13:25. So Nehemiah organized the workers, but don't forget his example. He was the right kind. He led the people, but also he was an example because he was a servant. Often think of that. If you're working on some project in your church, remember, you know, you don't lord it over people. You don't tell people what to do. You work together with them. And you represent the Lord, so therefore you must be a servant. That's sometimes hard. Well, he stayed on the job at all times. That was another thing that amazed me with Nehemiah. He inspected the city's defenses every night to make sure the guards were on duty. Why did they get so much done? Well, they had a mind to work. They prayed. They had an eye to watch, and it's good to be reminded, ourselves especially, that the will of God comes from the heart of God, and we need not be afraid. You know, if you belong to the Lord, the next person you're going to see will be Him. Can you want anything else? No. You're afraid of it? Why? Well, I got things in my life I got to take care of. Take care of them. Don't put off any kind of sin. Psalm 33. I love all Psalm 33, but we'll start in verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Praise God. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's not forget that. Yeah, be about the Lord's business. That's the most important place to be. That's where the blessing comes. Well, the people had an eye to see and an ear to hear, and this gave them the victory because God was behind it. And it's good to remind ourselves that the will of God comes from the heart of God, and we need not be afraid. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How precious it is that you can leave here today knowing that if you didn't make it home, that you'd be with the Lord. And if you don't have that relationship with him, don't put it off. Today needs to be the day of salvation. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And Nehemiah was so steadfast. And Lord, if you've put a job into our hands, help us to be steadfast. Help us to be that light in our home, in our neighborhood, with other people. And Lord, when it's tested, such as on the freeway, we're tested by outlaws and in-laws in the family. Lord, help us to represent you well. Nehemiah was right in there representing you. What an amazing man he was. And Lord, when we're going to meet him in heaven, we pray that he'll continue to be all that he was here on earth. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, has never bowed the knee to you, Lord, has never said, come into my life and cleanse it and make me yours. I don't have you, Lord. I know I don't have you. May this be the day that they get aside with you and seek your face, Lord, and that they would become your child. What a precious thing that is. Bless each lady, Lord, and we pray especially for Nancy, who's left here coughing. Lord, touch her body this afternoon. Help her to feel better. And anyone else that's struggling with illness, that you would meet her needs and their needs, and that we might continue to reflect you. Bless us, Lord. We need your blessing, your touch. In Jesus' name, amen.